This time, I'm going to invite Kelly Schultz to come to the front. Throughout the summer, we're going to be having different people, different members of ECC are going to be speaking with you outside of just the pastors. And Kelly is one of our pastors' council members, has spoken here at ECC several times and always does such a great job. Just reading his title this morning, Life is Meaningless, What's the Point? I don't know about you, but I'm already feeling invigorated and super excited. No, but I know it'll be good. If you'll welcome Kelly as he comes to speak.
Thank you. Good morning. Oh, come on, that was pathetic. Good morning. As Pastor Joel said, my name is Kelly, and I get to speak to you today. Lucky you? No? I don't know. We'll find out. One of the things that I love about attending this church is when I'm here, I simply get to be a youth leader. Working with Pastor Jeff and the leadership team at 180 is a highlight of my week every single Friday. And working with students and young people is what gives me life. It's why I work at Vanguard College. I teach a one-year missions and discipleship program. And I couldn't be prouder of the work that Jeff and the rest of our leaders are doing every Friday night and throughout the summer on Thursdays, I believe. And so trust that you guys and the students are in good hands with Jeff and the team. But before we begin this morning, let's just bow our heads and pray. Father God, we just thank you. And before we dive into your word this morning, we just want to say, you're the reason for all of this. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason why we get to do what we get to do. And we come into this place every week just to say thank you and worship you for who you are. And so, Father, as we look at your word, I pray that my words wouldn't be my own, but they would be your words through me, and that your word would speak to us, and it would cut deep to every heart this morning as you would have each one of us respond to your word. We just ask this in your name. Amen. So I have a basic question that what I kind of wrapped our morning around. And it's simply, what's the point? Why? Why do we do any of this? Why do we do church? Why do we call ourselves Christians? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we pray? Why? What's the point? And I don't know for you, but for me, as someone in ministry, I have doubts a lot sometimes. And did you know it's not always easy to believe? Did you know it's not always easy to follow the word of God and do what I know he is asking of me? Do you ever find it difficult to be a Christian? Do you ever find it difficult to maybe share the love of God with your neighbor or with a difficult friend or someone in your life? Did you ever ponder the idea that this idea of being a Christian or trying to follow Jesus, did you ever ponder the idea that maybe it would just be easier to give it all up and just kind of do your own thing, go your own way in life, and go from there? And truthfully, if I'm being honest this morning, those thoughts go through my head. Every once in a while, or sometimes more often than I care to admit, that's how I think. Why? Why do we do any of this? What's the point? And I'm in ministry. I have Reverend beside my name, and I think these things, so I don't think I'm alone here. So what's the point? And I have to ask myself, why am I a Christian? Why am I a pastor? Why am I a professor at a Bible college? Why do I do all these things? Is my life adding up to having any sort of meaning or purpose? When I'm teaching, am I actually making an impact on a student's life, or am I just spitting out words? When I go overseas on a missions trip, is anything that I'm doing making a lasting impact, or is it just a Christian vacation? On a Friday night, when we're here and the lasers are going and everything, is anything we're doing really making a difference? Sometimes I feel that life has no meaning and no purpose. I don't know, do you ever feel the same way? Nod if you do. so I'm not alone. maybe you ask yourself, what's the point? Why am I a Christian? Am I doing this because why? Why? And for me, God has blessed me with the awesome privilege to have traveled all around the world. I've been to 20-something different countries on different missions trips and different travels, and I've got to see a lot of things for how old I am. And one thing I've noticed, without a fail, is that wherever you go, there's a lot of problems in our world. I just flick on the TV or scroll through your Twitter feed, and you know there are issues in our world. And just to highlight a few of them, there's issues like poverty. Thousands of people dying every single day because they don't have food, clean water, access to medicine. Simple things. UNICEF reports that 22,000 of those dying are children every single day. Why? Then there's disease, which, I mean, preventable diseases kill thousands upon thousands of people every single year. Over 8 million children under the age of 18 die every year from preventable diseases. Some of them, like malaria, which for most people can be cured for less than $2 a person. And yet, millions are dying. There's hunger. Nearly 1 billion people, a number we can't even wrap our heads around, are chronically undernourished and do not have access to healthy food, reliable food, meaning that hunger is going to kill more people this year than all those diseases I talked about combined. There's destruction about the environment, and I'm not talking about climate change or anything like that, but we pollute so much of our water that so much of our drinking water is unavailable to people all over the world. So even more will die that way. And we haven't even got to some of the more man-made disasters like war, terrorism, and racism. Just flick on your TV and you hear countries like Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Sudan, Ukraine, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Turkey, France, Orlando. Each one bringing up different news feeds that you might have heard or seen on the TV, or images of people crying and mourning and weeping for the loss of a loved one. Did you know that? I checked the stats yesterday. As of yesterday, based on what the UN would classify as a war or active military conflict of some substance, there are 55 active wars going on in our world today, right now, killing hundreds of thousands of people every single year. And I mean, you don't have to watch the news for long to hear about terrorism and all this stuff. So according to the Globalism Terrorism Database, there were 393 separate terrorist attacks in the world last year. This year, and we're only in July, there have already been 917, including suicide bombings, mass shootings, village raids, mortar attacks, and now apparently even taking a transport truck and driving it through a crowd of people, as we just saw in Nice, France. And, I mean, you look at all these issues, and it can be so easy, so easy to just write them off as, okay, that's happening over there. It's the same feeling that you get when a World Vision commercial comes on and you just want to shut it off. That's another problem. That's for another time. That's not my problem. That's not here. That's not right now. And you can just block out all those depressing images and just not watch the news. But Canada's not alone. There's problems and issues in Canada too. Health Canada reports that drug and alcohol addiction is on the rise in our country. So is teenage pregnancy. And even though as Canadians we'd prefer not to admit it, but racism and prejudice is alive and well in our country as well. Homelessness is still an issue in many of our cities, especially amongst Aboriginal populations. There's issues of sexual abuse, violence, and rape. The divorce rate is extremely high, leaving so many broken families in its wake. And then there's even suicide, taking some 4,000 Canadian lives every single year, meaning that every single day, there's 11 families out there grieving the loss of a loved one. And so I look at all of this. It's not just the world. It's not just, it's Canada too. And I come back to that question that I started us off with. What's the point? Why? And I look at all those problems, and it's easy to get depressed. And I say, where is God in our world? When I watch the news, I ask that, where is God when all of this is happening? How can God allow this to happen? Which then leads me in my thinking and my analysis to ask, what's the point? Why am I a Christian? Does my life really matter? Will my life make any sort of difference in a world as dark and terrible as this one? And so, I'm not done yet. I was reading through some notes of mine a couple years ago, just as I was preparing for this message, and I found this little thing I wrote. Well, actually, it was on a trip to Beaumont. I lived downtown, and as I do every Friday, I drive to youth and get ready to serve here on a Friday night. And as I was driving, I was feeling these thoughts. I was having these things go through my mind, and I was just angry. And my wife wasn't with me, or she would have had an earful, but I just needed to vent. And so I wanted to write something down or whatever, but I was driving, so I did what any normal person would do, and I talked to my best friend, Siri, on my iPhone. And I just had her record what I was saying, and she wrote it down, and she actually did a pretty good job. But I want to read to you what I wrote or said. So this is what I said. Like, seriously, what is the point of life? You grow up, and you barely make it through the pain and the awkwardness of your adolescence. You try to get an education that will prove to the world that you are somewhat capable of something. Then you convince, or in many cases trick, someone into marrying you. If you're a Christian, then you most likely do this at a very young age, just so you can have sex and not get in trouble. Our world tells you that you're doing all right if you don't end up physically abusing one another, but you're probably just going to get divorced after only a few years anyways. If you don't, then you pop out a few kids, try not to also screw up their lives. All the while, you're trying to do something somewhat meaningful with your own life and not make a fool of yourself while doing it. If you end up even finding a decent job, then you'll probably just feel like you're spinning your wheels half the time and not getting anywhere as people continually, time and time after again, let you down. You will get jealous of others who succeed, and at the same time, you're going to try to avoid the fallout of yet another high-profile pastor or celebrity who just had a moral failure. But in all reality, you're probably just more concerned with paying your bills, not getting fired, providing for your family, and finding time to go fishing so you can complain with your friends about other people that always make you angry. Then, before you know it, time has flown by. You're old, alone, and grumpy. And then you die. That's the end. That's it. That's all this life has to offer. And I think Siri was so depressed we stopped it there. So how is it that I can have that feeling on the way to a youth group that I love so much, have poured some of my heart and soul into, and yet I still have those feelings in my heart? I mean, we can unpack my emotional baggage another day, but some of those thoughts and feelings, I'm sure I'm not alone in having. I'm sure you have thoughts, similar thoughts about your own life, your own situation, your own predicament, or when you look at the world. And so when I think of all of these things, I feel like the writer in the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. So if you have your Bible with me, turn or find the app and go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And we're going to power through the first 14 verses of that chapter. And so this is what was said. These are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the waters return again to the rivers and flow out again to the sea. everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It's all been done before. Nothing new, nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new. But actually, it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past and in future generations. No one will remember what we are doing now. I, the teacher, was king of Israel and lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven. And I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. I observed everything going on under the sun. And really, it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. And so I look at that and I see right in Scripture some of the same feelings, some of the same thoughts that I was writing down. And I feel like the writer in this passage sometimes, that life just has no point. There's no sense. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to remember what we're doing anyway, so why do we even try? And, you know, when I first went to Bible college, I was 18, fresh out of high school. And, you know, I thought I could save the world. I thought I was going to go in and go to Bible college and become this great pastor, this awesome missionary, and go save the world and kill all the bad guys or whatever, and just almost like a superhero. And that was what God was going to do through me. Awesome. But now, only a few short years later, I feel like the world's problems, the world's issues, that people, that the issues are just too big, and I am far, 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 far too small to do anything to make a difference. And when I'm alone at night, lying in my bed, just thinking about all of this, and I ask myself the question, does my life really matter? Am I making a difference? The answer is no. What's the point? What's the point? What's the purpose of my life? What's the purpose of your life? And I come back to this passage and find my life, your life, it's all meaningless. It's all meaningless. There's no point, no meaning, no purpose. And maybe you're sitting there and you're disagreeing with me, but it's right there in the Bible. Right there. I mean, the person who wrote this was King Solomon, considered to be one of the wisest men who ever walked on the earth. What's the point? He says it's meaningless. But, and this is the TSN turning point, there is a beautiful truth. There is a beautiful, beautiful truth that changes everything. And yes, everything that I've said up until this point is true. I'm not taking any of it back. But there's something profoundly different about living life as a Christian that we need to pay attention to. And so we find this difference in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 5-8. So it's Jesus speaking. And he says, yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. And when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So I don't know if you caught that or the connection. It said, Jesus said, for apart from me, apart from him, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, it is all meaningless. It all doesn't have a point. It doesn't make sense. There's nothing that adds up. And with life without Christ is like those branches that are dead and withering and need to be tossed into the fire because they're useless. But Jesus said, in him, we can bear fruit. Fruit is good. Fruit is juicy, it's sweet, it's awesome. And it says you bring great glory and happiness and pride and joy to the Father if we remain in him and he remains in us. I mean, I could tell you countless stories about some of the times that I have seen God profoundly work in a situation that had absolutely no hope. I mean, whether it was the many different conversations I've had in my office with students at Vanguard, who just some of the stories and the hurt and the pain they're going through, and God being able to give me a word or a voice of encouragement or help in their situation, that doesn't come from me. That's God at work, restoring life and healing brokenness. Even on a Friday night, Pastor Jeff and our other leaders will tell you, we don't know sometimes why these youth come, why students from the community come here every Friday, but they hear the word of God, they interact with leaders, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that despite what doesn't make sense or doesn't add up, we know that these kids, many of them, slowly are getting closer and closer to Christ, and that he is working in them, and what draws them is not anything that adds up by human standards, it's the Holy Spirit that is bringing them here. It's nothing we can do, but God has definitely been at work. There was the time that God spoke to myself and a couple others from this church to go after a young man who ran away from home, to drive all night from Beaumont to the Vancouver area and search the streets of Abbotsford and Vancouver for this young man. And us having no clue where this boy was, but just hearing from God saying, go. And God intervened in a situation we had very little control in, and we were able to bring that young man home back to his family. Doesn't add up. I've been to Ukraine, a country devastated by poverty and war. I've been to Cambodia, a country that's been devastated by genocide. I've been to China, where Christians are persecuted and thrown in jail, and where the motto of the day is all about communist rule, and people are distracted in life by just an obsession with materialism. I've been to Vancouver's downtown east side and seen what drug and alcohol addiction and mental illness can do to a human being. I've been to many reservations in northern Alberta and the Northwest Territories, and I've seen what lies in the wake of hundreds of years of racism and abuse and prejudice against Canada's Aboriginal people, and what they've had to endure and the results of that. I've been right here in Beaumont and in Edmonton and sat beside youth and young adults that pour out their hearts, just unthinkable, unfathomable stories of pain and hurt and suffering that kids their age never should have gone through. I've been in all those situations. Time and time again. I've seen them with my own eyes. I've been there with my own feet. I've heard them with my own ears. And despite the pain, despite the hopelessness, despite everything that is wrong, I've seen God at work in the midst of some of the most devastating tragedies, providing hope where there was none, providing meaning where there was none, restoring purpose to lives that felt like they had none. And so every single day of my life, I'm reminded that I can only do anything with Christ in me. I mean, I'm nothing special. I have nothing to offer. I'm not very good at anything in particular. But God is so much bigger than any of that. So much bigger than any of that. And on its own, life has no meaning. Life has no point. There is no purpose, because I can do nothing apart from Christ. But with him, we find all the meaning, all the purpose, all the hope. And so sometimes we can trick ourselves into thinking, like I did when I was in Bible college, that I'm the hero of the story. And we fall so short of that when we think God needs us, but really, it's us who need God. Or we can get caught up in the hopelessness of life, and we go through those list of statistics, and we watch the news, we scroll through Twitter and see all the evil things that exist in our world. And we can become overwhelmed by all the hurt and pain and evil that exists. or maybe for you today, as we just prayed moments ago, that pain and that hurt is so close to home, and you're feeling it. Problems in the family, concerns about job security, a diagnosis that just doesn't offer much hope, mounting financial pressure in uncertain economic times, the loss of a loved one, the list can go on and on and on. But whatever it is, the main point, the only thing that I have for you to take away this morning is this. Life is meaningless unless you find your hope and purpose in Jesus Christ. Only through him can we find our meaning and our purpose. Say that one more time. Life is meaningless unless you find your hope and purpose in Jesus Christ. Only through him can we find our meaning and our purpose. If you want to have purpose, if you want to have a life of significance, believe the words of Jesus who says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you believe in him and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So what is the purpose? What is the point? The point is Jesus. He is everything. He's the reason why we do anything that we do. He's the reason for all of this. He's the reason why we come together and we celebrate who he is and what he has done for us by dying on the cross and saving us and bringing redemption back to the world. That's why we do this. Because it's the only hope we have. Everything else we can construct, everything else we can make will not last. But in him, we find everything. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So we believe it. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So we trust in that promise. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. So we do. That's why we teach about what he's done and share our stories. He said that we ought to shine like bright lights in a dark world. So what do? We shine bright and be a source of good in such a dark, twisted world. He said that the world would hate us, persecute us, that it's not going to be easy, but that he would be with us. So we continue on in our daily battle every day, anyways. In Jesus Christ, we find our meaning, we find our hope, we find our strength. And I'm not here this morning to answer the question in a depth of why does God allow evil in our world. I mean, the short answer is because of sin. But I do know one thing with 100% certainty. It's that without him, we are nothing and we have no hope. But with him, we can do anything and we have the hope of the world with us every moment of every day. And so again, like I said, the main point, the only thing I want to leave with you is that life is meaningless unless you find your hope and purpose in Jesus Christ. Only through him can we find our meaning and purpose. And so I'm just going to invite the worship team to come and just play in the background. And what I'd like to do just to end off this morning is just to spend some time in reflection. Just between you and God. And if you have a pen and paper, that's awesome. If you have a phone, you can find your notes app. But I'd like you to write some things down if you can. Don't tell Marlo, but you can probably write on the back of a tithing envelope. But this morning, I'd just like to spend some time reflecting before God. What is he saying to you? What areas of your life do you need to give fully over to God so that you can remain in him, as the scripture said? That you can really believe in him 100%. Maybe it's some doubt. Maybe it's some fear that you have. Maybe what's holding you back from that full, deep relationship with Christ? Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's sin. ask God to reveal to you what's holding me back? What's getting in the way? And the Word of God says that His Spirit can convict you. It can show you. We're not perfect. We know that. Think about the question. What is the purpose of your life with Christ? I am a firm believer that Christ has a purpose and a plan and a potential for every single one in here, no matter how young, no matter how old, for your life. And it doesn't matter what you've done or what doubts you may have still lingering, God still can and wants to use you to grow closer into a relationship with Him, to impact the lives of others and actually make a difference, because it is He working in you. Ask God to show the true meaning of your life. If you feel stuck, ask Him to show you a way out so that you can remain and abide in Him. Because that's where we find all the meaning. That's where we find all the purpose. And so, just in these next moments, I invite you to do that. Take some time to write some of these questions down. You can reflect on them later. Or just ask God, simply in the quietness of your own heart, God, what are you saying to me this morning? So we'll just take a minute or two to do that, and then we'll pray this morning. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give the opportunity, if you're here today and you've never really given yourself over to God 100%, if you would say that, yeah, today, on this day, I'd love to start that journey. I'd love to say yes to this idea of following God, of choosing to remain in Him, because maybe you feel, like I've been saying, that it's really hard to find meaning in such a troubled world. And so if that's you today, I'm not going to embarrass you or anything or bring you up to the front, but if that's you and you'd say, yes, I'd like to give myself 100% over to God, will you just slip up a hand so I can pray for you this morning? I'd just like to give you that opportunity. I see that hand. So God, we just gather here today and submit to the true fact that we are nothing without you. God, and as depressing and as dark and as all the questions that we have about our world and everything, God, we come back to the central fundamental truth that you our God, and you love us so much that you sent your Son to die for us, that no matter what we have done, no matter what things we might have sinned or whatever is going on, that you loved us so much to offer us a way out, to to offer us a plan of forgiveness by sending your Son. And so, Father, we just say thank you. Thank you that you have given us meaning. Thank you that you have given us true life. And as your word says, life to the full, the best life, the most wonderful life. And God, even though we are sure to go through troubles, sure to go through all sorts of things in our lives, we know that you will be with us. And so, Father, I just pray for every person here this morning. Whatever doubts, whatever fears, whatever's holding us back, God, that you'd help us to release it to you. That you'd help us to let go of those things. God, for people who need a healing or a miracle in their life, God, would you provide? God, for those who need a touch physically or financially or relationally or whatever is going on, Father, we know, and your word says, that you are there with us. And so, Father, I pray that you would just give us strength to go from this place and remain in you. And we are trusting in your promise that you will then remain with us. And so, God, we thank you for all of this. We praise you for who you are. You're so wonderful. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed this morning. God bless you.